We have our wonderful Barb and Judy Sly here. They're going to bless us with their music here tonight. So thank everybody for your support here for them. And thank you, God, for the abilities and the gifting that you've put in them. And let's have Barb and Judy step up to the mics now. And I'll turn it over to you.
First song I'm going to sing is "He Washed My Eyes with Tears That I Might See." Trust this song will be a blessing to you.
He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. He swept away the things that made me blind, and then I saw the silver line, and now I understand 'twas best for me. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. Washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The glory of himself revealed to me. I did not know that he had wounded hands. I saw the blood he spilled upon the sands. I saw the marks of shame and wept and cried. He was my substitute. For me he died, and now I'm glad he came so tenderly. Washed my eyes with tears that I might see. And washed my eyes with tears that I might see.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to tell you something about that song, "He Washed My Eyes with Tears." Barbara and I are being used of the Lord as as people that can't see physically. And I'm glad that we're a blessing to people. And the verse of scripture that means so much to me with this song is Isaiah 42:16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do to them and not forsake them. That's our reason for He washed my eyes with tears that we may see. It will always be our favorite theme song because of how God is using us. Praise God. The next song I'm going to sing is Midnight Cry. I'm not going to worry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm not going to worry. He's got the whole thing in His hand. I won't let it haunt me. I won't let it win. I'm not gonna ruminate or meditate on how it might have been. I'm gonna release it. He's got the whole thing in His hand. God only knows it might just ease my mind. I'm not gonna worry. I'm not gonna fret. I'm just gonna wait and see. And in between, give thanks for what I get. I'll live in the moment. He's got the whole thing in His hand. Maybe design. So here it goes, God only knows, it might just ease my mind. I'm not gonna worry, I'm not gonna fret. I'm not gonna speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm not gonna worry, He's got the whole thing in His hand. He's got the whole thing in hand. He's got the whole thing in His hand.
Thank you. I would like to say that the song I'm Not Gonna Worry meant a whole lot to me when we worked on it. And the scripture verse I have for this song is, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I thank the Lord for the way He's blessed our ministry and the response we have been getting from time to time in the nursing homes and everything. God is so good. Now it's a midnight cry, right?
Rushing wind. Midnight cry when Jesus comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling and the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get your children." The midnight cry, the bride of Christ is God Christ. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. That remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. At the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. Jesus comes again.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we're going to sing "Here With Me." And there's a little bit of a story behind this song. I heard it on an FM station in Baltimore, and it really touched my heart. The words of this song really touched me, and I'm glad Butch likes this song because it means a lot to me. Listen to the words, "The Here With Me." Will you show me, reveal yourself?
words of your mercy. I fall down on my knees, and I can feel your presence here with me. Suddenly I'm lost within your beauty, caught up in the wonder of your touch. Here in this moment I surrender to your love. Your
Thank you, Barbara and Judy, for your beautiful songs there. That was just the power of God was working right there through you guys, and just honored that you chose to share that gift with us tonight. Thank you so much. At this time, I'd like to introduce Charles Sargent. He's going to come up, and he's got a scripture for us, and he's got some other words that he'd like to share with us. Charles.
Hallelujah. Well, it certainly is good to be here with you all tonight, and I do have a couple things I'd like to share. I don't know if any of you have ever seen one of the cards of our ministry or not, but down at the bottom of these cards, this was a motto that we picked back a long time ago when George and I first started working together. We started out together in campgrounds, just going around to campgrounds and preaching the Word of God to campers. And the motto that we picked was working together, ushering in the kingdom. And, you know, one of the prayers that God taught us to pray was what? In the prayer that they call the Lord's Prayer, he prays that his kingdom come and his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's what the whole goal of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to usher in the kingdom, to bring the kingdom of God to fruition, to the place that it needs to be. And having said that, I would like to read you a scripture. I'm going to be fairly brief, but if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, it's in the 17th chapter of the book of John, and it's beginning with the 20th verse. And I'll give you a minute to turn there. It's a prayer that Christ prayed. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So that could be any one of us. You know, as we witness to people, as we tell them about Jesus Christ, you know, this was a prayer for us. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." That's how the world's going to know Jesus is real, is because he's in you. And we're all working together, ushering in the kingdom of God. Verse 22 says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." We've been given glory. Praise God. And we need to bask in that glory. "That we may be one, even that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." You know, it's all about the love. You remember 1 John, 4th chapter, says that God is love, and everyone that loves is born of him. You know, whenever we love people and we share the good news with people and we really care, and we're really concerned about people's lives, that's all part of ushering in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to encourage you to love people. Scripture says to love everyone, your enemies, everybody, especially those of the household of faith. We're going to pray at this time, and then I'm going to turn service over to George to minister the Word of God to you. So if you would, just bow our heads, please. Father God, we present ourselves unto you tonight, that you might touch our hearts and enlighten our spirits and renew our minds, that you might touch us in a special way, dear God, in a way that only you can. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will have free course and right away to do exactly what he wants to do here this evening. Lord, we desire more than anything to just be the kind of person that would open up our hearts to you and say, "Come on in." And Lord, we pray tonight that our hearts would be open to receive as your word is presented unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Am I on? Hallelujah. Hi, everybody. Hey. Hi, everybody. Hey. All right. Well, let's get it started off good here. Praise God. Wait a minute. I got to have a second set of eyes here. Hallelujah. Now, my wife told me to not be long-winded. Well, I promise I won't keep you to after 11 o'clock anyway, okay? No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I promise you I'll try to make this about as short and sweet as possible as I can. We'll see what I can do here. Praise God. Amen, brother. Well, for those who don't know me and those who do know me, my name is George Maul. Now, the thing of it is, a very few people call me George, and Charles is one of them. Most people call me Butch. Butch was actually given to me by my grandmother, Mrs. W.B. Kennedy. Very, very sweet woman, very godly woman. But the reason why she named me Butch, because she says I was the meanest, but the sweetest grandson she had. And she had 72 grandchildren. Anyway, very blessed, amen, praise God. So I want to thank everybody for allowing me to come here. I thank Pastor Charles, who's also my brother-in-law, for giving me this opportunity to come and share my heart. And also before I get started into the word, because one thing about the ministry that God has put us in, and I believe this ministry has come together by God's grace, okay? I believe this is what he wanted me to do. And I believe it was his leading to ask Charles and ask the girls to join me in what we're doing now as far as ministry goes with the nursing homes and also with the prison and do guest speaking, okay? Well, anyway, the heart of this ministry is like Charles was talking about ushering the kingdom of God. We want to share with people the love of God. And how much God, I mean, the love of God is so awesome for somebody to take upon him he took every ounce of sin, okay? And he took the beating for you. He took the stripes on his back for you. He shed his precious blood for you. Amen. You know, and the sad thing about it is, even Christians take it for granted what God has done for us, you know. And I really am going to try to stay on my notes because I have to have notes. If I don't, I'll go off on a little rabbit trail, so I'm going to try not to. But I never have really liked ministers that would beat people down, okay? There's too many of them out here who want to use a fear tactic to bring people to God. Let me tell you something about our Jesus. He never used a fear tactic once. He always used love, and he came to people in love. And he didn't go to the haughty and the high-minded and the religious. He went to the whores, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, okay? He went to where the religious people did not want to go, okay? And you know what draws people to ministries more than anything else? A realism. For them to see that person has an honest heart and for that to be projected to them, that person really cares about them. That's one thing I got to honor. I give honor to Carl about. He has such a good heart. And you know, God saw what's in his heart. And I'm going to tell you, like I was telling somebody earlier, for a ministry to be built debt-free is something that does not happen on the norm. It only happens by God's grace and God's anointing. Okay? Because the purpose of Greatest Freedom Ministries is to share the love of God and have people come to know this Lord and Savior that we have that gave his all for us. Hallelujah. Now, my brother Charles here, actually we go back almost 25 years together. He was actually my pastor at a place called Love Springs Four Square Gospel. When I met this man, we lived at Ashby Apartments in Bridgewater, and he drove by in his little Volvo, like I think it was a 69 Volvo, I think, green, right? That was an ugly looking car, but anyway, when he rode by me, he waved at me. I'm like, who's that odd dude? You know? Well, anyway, He was moving in and stuff, you know, and I saw him. I'm going to go find out who this guy is that waved at me, because, you know, it's not normal if somebody waved at me. My wife tell you, I've always was a very stern, very hard person. I wasn't somebody you really came to know very well. A lot of times when you come to know me, it came from the wrong way. But struck up a conversation with this man and found out he was a pastor. And what I saw in him was something I'd never seen in most people who claim to be Christians. I saw a man, in my opinion, was the most Christ-like person I've ever met. And that drew me to him. And what it was his love and passion that he has for people. Well, anyway, the nursing home business, as far as ministry goes, actually started way back in 1990. Isn't that right, Charles? Through his ministry, I was going to different nursing homes at the time, Avante, Bridgewater, you know, a number of places. And I did that for about a year and a half or so. But I got honest to say, my journey with the Lord and my travels in ministry, I haven't always walked with God. And one of the reasons why is because I had a real hard time believing somebody actually loved me. They really loved me enough that he gave his life for me. I mean, in the home I grew up in was military, okay? And very hard. Matter of fact, my stepdad today, I was at a dinner with him back in April, and he even told the people we were sitting with, I brought that boy up with a fist, iron fist. And I'm like, yeah, he's not lying, you know. And that's none of the reasons why I've been on my own since I was 14. Well, besides all that, my walk, I mean, in my heart, I wanted to serve God, you know, and I wanted to be the good Christian, you know. And I would mess up, and then what would I do when I mess up? I just started walking away. Didn't think that God would forgive me. I started smoking and drinking again, you know. And then it hit me that, hey, I'm going to go back to church, you know. So I went to church, and I did that for a little bit before again. Then I went right back to the way I was before. Let me try to bring this up a little bit. There came a time in my life when I was serving the Lord. We're talking back in 2000. And I was serving God. I was going to the First Assembly of God, and I was really trying to be the good Christian man. And my dad, my real father, my birth father, named Grandma, was sick. And the last time I talked to him was Christmas Day, 1999, on the phone. And I told him that this summer, which was 2000, I'm coming down, and I don't care what Beverly said, which was my stepmother, said, I'm going to take you and pick you up, and I'm going to put you in the car, and you're going to spend a week with me, all right? My dad had diabetes, and he didn't take care of himself. He lost his left leg down from his knee and lost his right foot to it. And so he really couldn't get around, you know, really good. But anyway, got a phone call January 18th. I won't forget this as long as I live. And I was at work, and the people I worked for never nullified me. So I didn't find out my dad went critical until the later on that evening. They scheduled me to fly out that morning, which was supposed to be that evening at 6, but instead 12 hours later at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm flying down, and I'm saying to myself, you know, and I'm even witnessing the people on the plane that, you know, my God, my dad's sick, but I know God's going to raise him up. I know God's going to heal him. And I'm confessing that, and I'm saying that, and I'm hoping that all the way down. And when I got to the airport, my sister met me, and I'm enthusiastic, and I'm going to go see my dad, and I'm going to be able to pray with my dad. I asked my dad at Christmas Day, could I pray with you? You know, and he said, no. Now, I never known my dad really to be a church-going man or anything. So anyway, when I got to the airport, I saw my sister Mary, and I was all excited to go see my dad. And she said, Butch, Dad died a half hour ago. Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to tell you. I mean, right there on the spot, I fell on my knees and I just started crying my heart out. Why? 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 You know? Now, you're going to love this. When I got to the hospital, my sister Debbie still asks about it today. My dad was always real flatulent, you know what I mean? You know, a little trouble with gas, you know? Well, me too, you know? And anyway, when I saw him on that bed, they left him there for me to see, and I wish today I never saw him. Because when a person passes, you know, their jaw's left open, you know, and their body is no life in it, and it's an empty shell, you know. I still see that. Anyway, when I went in the room, I fell at his feet, and when I did, I went. I passed gas, you know. And my sister Debbie came up to me, put her hand on her shoulders, goes, "Butch, Dad would have liked that, you know." But anyhow, I got mad. And I was mad at God because, you know, I felt like the opportunity for me to pray with my dad was taken away from me. And I couldn't understand why when I'm such a man of faith, you know. And I was also thinking at the time, well, this, you know, gospel stuff, this religion, this teaching stuff must not be for me. You know, maybe this is something he doesn't want me to do. Maybe he doesn't want me in the ministry, you know. And my wife would tell you for 2 years, okay, I don't think I really talked to Charles much in that time period, did I, Charles? I went back to drinking. I went back to smoking dope. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day, and I smoked more dope than I smoked cigarettes. All right? I was not living a Christian life. I'm not going to say when I die I've gone to hell, because once you're born again, you are born again, and a person really would have to go to the point where they're totally denying Jesus Christ in order not to be saved. But anyway, I was watching TV. I was flipping through channels, you know. And anybody in here know about Kenneth Copeland except for Charles and me? Anybody ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? All right. Well, anyhow, here he is. He's on the TV screen. And I said, well, I'll sit here and listen to this guy because I know the guy. I've been listening to him since 1982, basically. And it was like he was reading the Book of Mull. I mean, it just seemed like he was telling my life story. It seemed like he knew my heart, and he knew what I was feeling, and he knew that what I was going through, you know? And I was just dumbfounded about that, you know? And so that night, you know, I mean, let me tell you this. The very next night, I came home from work and I told my wife, I got to go find a revival somewhere. You know, I got to be in church somewhere, you know. I got to go find something. And I left, and I came across a place called the Potter's House. That's where Charles was going to. And I had no idea Charles was even going to the Potter's House at the time. And I walked in there, and they are having some awesome praise and worship music, you know. Awesome. I mean, made you get up and, yeah, you know, yeah, hallelujah. You know. And so I went up towards, I always like sitting up towards the front. I don't like sitting in the back, because the reason why I like sitting up front, because the power of God is going to move, I want it to hit me first. All right. And anyway, when they got done singing, it was awesome. You can feel the presence of God, you know. And they had a man there by the name of Pastor Doggett. Charles knows what I'm talking about. Awesome man of God. Makes me look skinny. I'm not learning to like that. But he must have watched Kenneth Copeland the very night before, because it's like he was doing the same thing. He was reading the Book of George Mull. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm at a about it, you know. You ever been like that? I ain't talking about a doctor looking down your throat. I'm talking about experience-wise, you know. And so at the end of the service, they call people up for prayer, you know. And I have never liked going to a church and somebody putting their hands on you and pushing you down to the floor. Hallelujah, you're slain. You know, I just never have been cool with that. But I told God, I said, God, I said, I'm going to go up there for prayer. And I ain't going to let nobody push me down. I said, but if you want me to be slain in the spirit, you're going to have to do it. And so I went up, and I actually would have been over here, you know. All these people over here. So this guy started out over here, you know, and he's praying for people. And every now and then, you know, in the corner of my eye, I see somebody falling down, you know. And I'm standing, I'm being just as bullheaded as I can, you know. But I'm praying. I got my hands up, and I'm asking for God to touch me, you know, because I want to feel his presence, you know. And when he came around, and he went to touch me. He didn't even touch me. I'm going to tell you. I physically felt. It had to be the Spirit because no man had his hand on me. Grabbed me from my shoulders. Shook me. And threw me on the floor. And I went boom. And I didn't feel a thing. I felt absolutely nothing. But what I heard inside me was awesome. And it wasn't all out here like I'm talking, but it was what I heard in my spirit. And I heard God say, Butch. All right? Butch. You know? I do love you. I have forgiven you. And he named off the things that I felt guilty about. And he says, I have called you in the ministry. There is a job that you have to do. And he said, one more thing. The salvation of your daddy was never your responsibility. He said, your dad has 64 years to make that decision for himself. He says, you have nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to feel guilty about. He said, now you'll find out if your dad is here when you get here. I'm not going to tell you. So, need that being said, you know, when I was at home and I'm really trying to get this straight. Was it the night before? Or was it that very same night? You know, I'm sitting there and I had one cigarette left in the pack, you know, and I'm looking at that cigarette, and I said, okay, you know, how many times has God got to, you know, tell you that, you know, he wants you to do something, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at that cigarette, and I said, God. Now, I'm not making a bet with you. I ain't making a deal with you. I said, but I do ask you to do one thing for me, if you would. I said, when I wake up in the morning, I have no desire to smoke again. Okay? I said, but I want you to know something. I'm going to smoke every drag of that cigarette and enjoy every single puff. All right? And let me tell you how cool God is. And my wife could tell you, to this day, I haven't had a desire for a cigarette. That's God, okay? And why do I do ministry, nursing home ministry? And my wife, she can't believe that I said this but I have, and I don't mean for it to be crude whatsoever, but most people who are in nursing homes, that's their last stop before they go to their eternal destination, okay? And I say that. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, and the reason why we want to bring the love of God to people, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, here is another chance for you to come and accept Christ and make him your own, you know? And we want to do that. We want to be able to help you come and know Jesus, because to me, it is the most important thing that we can ever do in our life is share the love of God with somebody to have a life change to come and know Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most awesome rewards I can say I ever got here in this world was when a young man came up to me just a few years ago, right before my wife and I moved to where we're living at now. He came to me, and I couldn't remember who he was. I couldn't remember at all. But he came to me, and he said, I want to shake your hand. I said, okay. He says, I want to thank you. He says, because what you told me a while back, I remembered, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I couldn't remember the guy's name. And it was something I told him a couple of years before. There was a situation happened, and I was able to share the Lord with this guy. And this young man came to accept Christ. Do you know what our mission is in life? It's to plant seed. It's not money, financial seed. Too many ministries out here want to beat you up about so money. Give. This ministry is going to fall if you don't give. You know what I got to say to you? Fall, dude. If you're counting on me, you're counting on money to see your ministry grow, to see your ministry prosper, then you're counting on the wrong thing. There's only one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay? Your faith and your love to him, wanting to see others come to know him, is what's going to make the ministry grow. If you want to talk about tithes and offering and giving, then teach them the true meaning behind it. Not to fatten your pocket, but the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Okay? Anyhow, I didn't mean to go there, but I did, so hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't he cool? I'm way off what I wrote down here. I spent weeks studying, and last night me and the Lord spent about 2.5 hours together, and I went and I prepared this, and I said, hey, that's pretty cool. Well, I got to find out where I'm at now. Anyhow, hallelujah. Charles Sargent can tell you, and my wife, I'm sure, can tell you what my favorite verse in the Bible is. And I want you to know something. I've never had college about ministry. I've never been in seminary. And I know some people call it cemetery, but, you know, I've never done that. I mean, I took some courses before because I want to know. I took an in-depth study of the book of Romans and stuff before. But you know what makes a minister? It's not college. It's not seminary. But it's the trueness of their heart. Wanting to know their Savior, Jesus Christ. Want to know him in a personal way. And you share that with people. You be genuine with the people you come to know. They're going to want to come to know the Jesus that you know. Okay? Anyway, what's my favorite verse, Charles? 2 Timothy 2:15, how many people can quote that? I can. It says, to study to show yourself approved unto God. A worker need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Now, I'm not boasting on myself, so don't think that. Please don't. But my wife can tell you the hours every day that I spend going through CDs, tapes, reading the word. Why? Because I want to know this. Why? This is a love letter from God to us. Every chapter talks about Jesus, and it's caused by his precious blood that we even have the right to share this with others. Do you know wars have been fought over this? Do you know this is the only book that a war has been fought over? And people have given their lives for this to be published? Oh, man. And I consider it an honor and a privilege that I can stand before you and tell you that I'm a man of God who loves Jesus Christ, who wants nothing more than people to come to know him. Amen. And I don't have to have a certificate or a degree to do that. You don't have to do that. The word of God says that we overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. You know? I don't mean to holler. I don't know why I'm hollering. But, you know, it's just that it's God, you know, like Carl was saying this morning, you know, we are going to stand before a judgment seat of God, and we are going to receive, Christians are going to receive rewards, actually, for what they've done in the ministry. Not what they've done for themselves, but what have they done to promote Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, okay? It's not going out baking a pie for some poor widow woman. It's not going out washing cars for somebody. You know, it's none of that. It's who have you shared the word with today? What life have you touched for the kingdom? That's what matters. You know, do you know what God is saying? He's telling the homosexual to come home. He's telling the alcoholic to come home. He's telling the prostitute, come home. I love you. I give my all for you. Come home and let me love you. You know, that's what he's saying. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement, and I can prove it in the word. But, you know, men are not going to hell for sin. You know what they're going to hell for? Denying Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why it's so important to get the word out. I tell my kids all the time, and I did the same thing when I was a kid. I did. I thought smoking and drinking was, you know, a lot more cooler than going to church, you know. And I tell young people and I tell friends all the time, you know, that how important it is to come to know Jesus Christ, because it is so important, you know. And I said the very same thing. Well, I want to live a little first. I want to party, you know. You know what partying got me? Nothing. Broke. Sick. Blah! Hallelujah. Blah! You know. That's what partying got me. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't want to go on too much longer here because I don't want to keep you going. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Praise God. Anyhow, here we go. Part two. Anyway. Praise God. It took me a while. It really took me a while to understand Romans chapter 7. Have anybody ever read that before and get tongue-tied in your brain reading that? I know I did. I did it for a long time, you know. But I finally came to a point in my life that I finally started to grasp that as long as we're here, there's always going to be a war in our spirit. Always the flesh is going to war after what is right, our spirit man. Because, do you know, people need to understand this. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? When you come to know Jesus Christ, you are a new, the Bible actually says, behold, for you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You, and oh, hallelujah. Lord, I know I'm jumping around, but praise God. So when I can understand that I'm going to mess up, but God knows I'm going to mess up, but as long as I put my faith in him and trust in him, you know, and walk after him, you know what he says? he says, I got it wrote down here. I did this to save time, okay? He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I am free in Jesus Christ. I might mess up. I make mistakes. But because I accept Christ as my personal Savior, the Bible says he does not hold my sins against me. Jesus Christ, the Word says, took it upon himself once and for all. He took it. And there's a song that's sung in churches, and I really don't care for it. Because it says, I never will know the cost of my sins upon the cross. And I please, the cost of my sins is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? My sins was the beating and the marring and the whipping. I mean, when he was in the dungeon, they pulled his beard and punched him in the face. You ever seen the Passion of Christ? I have. And I'll tell you what, every time I see it, it makes me want to get up and go fight some Roman, you know? It really does. But do you know, that's still showing on in a little bit of what Jesus did for us. And for me to say I would never know the cost of my sins upon the cross to me is like smacking God in the face. Whether you disagree with me or not, I believe my God needs much more reverence than that in who I am in Christ Jesus and who you are in Christ Jesus. I mean, think about it. That's my daughter. And I couldn't take my daughter or any of my children or any of my grandchildren, and I would not sacrifice them for you. I would not lay their life on the line for you. You're not worth it. I don't love you that much. All right? I would die for my kids. I would die for my wife.
I put my life on the line. Now, my wife knows me. I'm not somebody you want to dance with, okay? But I love my family, and I will put my life on the line. Man of God or not man of God, you come and harm someone in my family, buddy, you better go smoke somewhere else, okay? But that's the beauty of God. Just think about that. Just grasp that. I mean, He loved us so much that He gave His very best for us. And He allowed His very best to suffer, something that we couldn't do ourselves. And He did it freely because He loves us. Do you know there's a song called When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind? Do you know you was on His mind when He was on that cross? And you know the most greatest words ever spoken? Was when He was hanging on that cross, His body convulsing in pain, suffering, couldn't breathe, blood flowing. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And do you think what little bit of trivial sin we have could compare to what He went through? You know, praise God. That song that the girls sing, I got to admit, almost every time they sing that song, I cry. I can't help it. Because I know what my Lord and Savior went through for me. I know how He has changed my life. Charles Sargent would tell you, and my wife knows, that there was a time I didn't cry. I did not cry. I'm a man. I'm bad. I mean, I wore a security uniform. I was an A and B officer. I had arresting powers and all that for over 20 years. You know, I faced some really pretty big boys. And it wasn't really hard. If you know how to take care of yourself, it's not hard to put a man on his knees, okay? So, I didn't cry. I'm a man. So one time, I was at the Parter's house, and the Spirit of God is moving, you know. And I went up because I wanted God to touch me because I wanted to have feelings for people, because I didn't love people. I tolerated them, you know. I didn't really love them, and I wanted to love them. So Charles is one of the prayer warriors, you know, in the ministry at that time, and I went up to Charles. And Charles, I said, I want you to pray for me that I will cry. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not no baby, boo-hoo, you know, but I want feelings for people. I want people to know that I'm sincere, you know. And Charles laid his hand on me and started crying. I mean, started praying, and I went, I mean, I cried and cried. I haven't stopped since. Hallelujah. And at times I'm like, I wish I didn't pray that, you know. But I did. I did. And like I said, it just, for somebody, I mean, there's a guy at my job, and he's a Christian, and he always wears, you know, something Christian, right? But when he goes to lunch, he takes his Bible and his lunch, and he goes off and sits by himself. Now, I'm telling you, I can't do that. Now, I don't go and sit with the guys and hear their dirty jokes and all that kind of stuff. I don't do that. But I can't go isolate myself. Jesus never did. How's people going to know that you love Jesus Christ? You're something as your personal Savior if you don't go and sit with them and don't share Him with them, you know? I'm not going to tell you I'm a Christian. I'm going to show you I'm a Christian. But I'm not going to show you I'm a Christian by taking the Word of God and beating you with it. I'm going to show you I'm a Christian. I'm going to live it out before you. I'm a man. I make mistakes. I get mad at stuff at work on my machine when it don't work. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. Go right back to it and go back over it again, right? I run four different kind of computer machines that makes, you know, pipe. And people, you know, one of the coolest things is having somebody come up to you and tell you thank you for being real. I've had that happen to me a number of times at work, you know, because I am not going to put a show on for you, okay? But what I want you to see in me is Jesus Christ. That's what I want to shine from my life. I mean, in my good moments and even in my bad moments. Because you know why? The Bible tells us that we have a Savior who sits on a throne and intercedes for us on our behalf all the time. The word, I'm not saying I don't sin, because the Bible also says that any man said he doesn't sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, guess what? I'm not going to tell you I don't sin. Especially if you get in the car with me and we're going down the highway and somebody cuts me off and pulls in front of me. Hey, get out of the way! Yeah, I'm still bad at that. I'll admit. I'm getting better. My wife will tell you that. I'm actually getting better. Now after I fuss them, I'll go, God bless them, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know. I'm gonna tell you something. This. Oh, thank you, Lord. God is so cool. Anybody know that? God is cool, right? Is God cool or not? All right, God's cool. Let me tell you what. Do you know, as far as God is concerned, do you know how he sees us? As his children. Okay? And this is something that I preach about all the time. God's not up there with the baseball bat ready to smack you upside the head if you make a mistake. You know, and I got to say this before I read these scriptures to you. But you know, when my kids were little, my daughter can tell you, they used to antagonize me to see if I get mad or not. How much it would take for me to get mad. My daughter said, you used to beat our butts all the time when we lived in Mount Crawford. No, I didn't. I didn't beat you nowhere near as much as I should have. But, you know, I love you. You know, I love you. But anyway, even as Christians, God will bring correction. Okay? And why he does that? Because he loves you. All right, here we go. Now, I did take the time to write scripture down, because if I stood here and look it up, we'd be here a lot longer. Okay? 1 John 3:17 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. Think about that. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21? For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. It's nothing we did. And we all have heard it before. On our own, we are like filthy rags. You know, we have no righteousness of our own. But as far as God is concerned, once you accept Christ, you are his. You are his righteousness. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, I thought I was going to sweat like a pig, and I ain't sweating at all. Praise God, hallelujah. Anyway, Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. You show people the love of God. You show people you're real. You show people what God will do for your life. You are going to shine as a light in the world. That's what it says. If you wasn't, it would never say it. Here's another one. You ready for this one here? It says, I'm snorting. Hallelujah. That's what my mama does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:26-29 says, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, that means born again, have put on Christ. Wear them. All right? There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Man. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to give you another one. When you walk out of the night, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. If you're born again, you are a child of God. And he loves you. Okay? All right. Romans 8:14-16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means daddy, daddy. Hey, daddy, what's going on, man? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I gotta find it, Lord. Yes, I do. I gotta write down. But I want you to know something. God doesn't hold your sins against you. Did you know that? Do you know God will not beat you up over your past sins or your present or even future sins? Did you know that? He ain't gonna beat you up for them. You can look it up. Look at it. You gotta put some paper. Write it down. Here you go. I'm gonna give you two verses. The Bible tells you, the Word of God teaches you. Anything you teach on, anything you talk about, you should be able to prove it by two or three witnesses, which is two or three verses or whatever, okay? You should be able to find it in more than one place in the Bible, okay? And it says, Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That means he doesn't hold. Impute means he doesn't hold it against you. Psalms 32:2 says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. You know what that means? There's no guile because when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you have been made new. There's no guile there. There's none there. You've been cleaned up, polished up, spit shine. Right? I'm not saying you're not going to sin, but because we are. Do this. All right? And are you breathing? Heart beating? You're going to make mistakes, okay? This is the way it is. It's called being human, all right? That's how God made you, you know? He made us perfect but imperfect. And that's one thing about the Bible tells us as believers, that we should press towards the mark of excellence, which is found in Jesus Christ, okay? This is something that we strive for every day. This is something that should be our goal every day, to be like Him, to share Him with somebody. I cannot say that enough. And I really wish I had the freedom on my job to share Him more, you know. But in a workplace, you are limited to what you can say because you will get in trouble. The truth of the matter is, people don't like that. Okay, y'all don't got real silent on me. People don't like, in the general, for people to share God with them. They don't. They don't want to hear that they're doing something wrong. They don't want to feel guilty of sin. They don't. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be too much longer, I promise you. We're getting towards the end of the call here, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm turning a couple of pages. Okay. Now, I know in life, people die prematurely. I know disasters happen, you know, like with the tornado that ripped through that town and killed those people. You know, not too many years ago, Charles and I know there was a man who had his little four-year-old boy was out in the yard playing, and a guy was cutting the grass, and a piece of metal shot out from the lawnmower, hit the boy in the head and killed him. God didn't take that boy's life. God ain't the reason why those people got killed in that tornado. God didn't call the tsunamis to wipe out hundreds of people or to flood down in, where they have that thing called? Illinois, ain't it? You know, Mardi Gras. What's that place called? Huh? New Orleans, that's it. New Orleans. God did not cause that. But Bible does tell you there times are going to happen. These things are going to happen because we live in a perverse world. These things are going to happen. But you see, the thing about Jesus Christ is when he resides in you, He can, during those hard, horrible times, bring you peace. Okay? And if you're, and I'm not saying that a Christian won't go through these things, but I'm going to tell you what, he will. But without Christ in your life, it would be a miserable battle you have to face. But with Him in your life, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have no strength of my own. You know? Only strength I've got is what God gives me. Now, in John 10:10, it says, for the thief comes to what? What does the thief come to do? I'm going to read it here. I got it wrote down. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. In the Amplified Bible, it says, to the full, to the overflow. God wants you to be happy. God wants to give you your heart's desires. Oh, God is so cool. God loves you. God loves you. Now I'm going to bring this to an end. And I really hope this has been a blessing to you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask my brother to come up here with me. And if there's anybody at all here that wants prayer, I don't care what it is, feel free to do so. Because I'm going to tell you what, this man and I have been praying together for over 20 years. I cannot tell you, I can tell you this. There was one time there was a guy who was in a hospital and he had a heart, you remember this, had to have heart surgery. We went there to see somebody else. And as we were leaving, this guy asked us to stop and pray with him because of what he heard us tell this other person. This guy on the bar. He was supposed to have open heart surgery. We prayed for this man. I come to find out a little later that he was totally healed. He did not have to have heart surgery. And he closed down the bar and started serving the Lord. That's God. Okay? That's God. And I cannot tell you the time and time and time again that I've called Charles up. Charles, we got to pray about something. Charles, will you pray with me about this? Charles, let's pray together. He never once said no. And as a matter of fact, he's the one person I know for a fact that never ridiculed me, never cut me down, never talked down to me at all. He has always been an encouragement to me. And you know what? That's what God's saying about you. And that's what God is doing for you. Just surrender yourself to him. Put your whole heart out there. I'm telling you, he will complete it. He will fill it. He loves you. So anyway, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you, dear God, for this time you've given me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this, for the message that you have given me to share. I know I wasn't quite on every page with you, but dear God, I'm just going to believe that they have received from you what you had in store for them to come to understand your greatness, your love, your compassion, and your desire for them to be blessed and to succeed in life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, if anybody would like to have prayer, we'll be glad to have prayer. I see he's bringing up the offering plate. I'll turn it over to you, brother.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you, dear God. Thank you, God, for this man's heart. I know he loves you. And I know he's probably more versed than I am in your word. Oh, dear God. I know he's precious. I know he's precious to you. Anoint him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Blessed God, with all the grace and the glory and the wonder that you have, give him his heart's desire in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, love your bear. I love your bear hugs, man. Yeah, hallelujah.
Say it to me again. Yeah. Okay, honey, put your hands on her and I'm going to pray. Alright. Oh, shut the fishy. Ta-ta-ta-ho-shun-la-la-la-la. Ta 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 ho shun la 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 la.